And now to politics in this country. Joining us for our weekly analysis of the presidential race and other matters is Slate political writer Will Salatin. Hi, Will.
Hi, Madeline.
Will, the Democratic Convention begins a week from today in Boston. A lot of attention has been paid to who is speaking. One late addition, Hillary Clinton, who was not scheduled to speak. Now she is scheduled to speak, introducing her husband. What do the speakers tell us about what Kerry is trying to accomplish at this convention?
You know, this is a convention that's clearly being built around John Kerry and his biography and selling John Kerry. It's an affirmative message. The Democrats did not want any other controversy to get in the way of that. So there was controversy building over the fact that Hillary Clinton wasn't on her own in the lineup. So they've given her her own spot, and they're hoping then that that controversy will go away so that on the big nights, Wednesday and Thursday, they can focus on the biographies of the two men on the ticket, John Edwards and John Kerry. And on Thursday night, the big night, they're going to have Max Cleland, the triple amputee veteran who was voted out of the Senate in the last election on a message from the Republicans that he was somehow unpatriotic. They're going to have him introduce John Kerry. And they're going to have one of the guys that Kerry rescued in Vietnam, Jim Rassman, speak before that. So the message is John Kerry is a war hero. Republicans have no business attacking him or questioning his credentials on national security. And the convention is going to be built around that message.
On Thursday, the 9/11 Commission is scheduled to release its big, big report on what led up to the terrorist attacks. And so this has got to be an important moment politically for the Bush administration. What should we be looking for?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that I think can come out has already been reported by Time magazine, that some links have been found by this commission between not Iraq and al-Qaeda, but Iran and al-Qaeda. And this Iran stuff is a really big deal because each time the commission or any other body has come out and said, you know, there really wasn't much of a connection between Iraq and al-Qaeda, the president basically responded saying, look, I couldn't take chances. I had to defend the American people. There was a threat. It looked like a threat. I'm going to stand up against it. And this is the first thing that comes out and says, while the president was focusing on what he thought was a threat, which turns out not to be such a threat because of the absence of weapons of mass destruction, he was ignoring another country that is a bigger threat in Iran next door. And this is going to be a mess for him for all sorts of reasons, not least of which is that there will be continuing disclosures about the Iranian nuclear weapons program. There already have been. That's a developing story. And the more Iran looks like a threat to the United States, the more foolish the Iraq war will look to the American public.
Also a political minefield for the president is the constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage rejected by the Senate last week. Where does it go from here?
Well, of course, conservatives are going to now rally around all these measures in the states to try to accomplish what they failed to do in Congress, which is to ban gay marriage to make it constitutionally impossible at the state level. I've seen commentary that this is the best of both worlds for the president, fighting and losing. He fights, therefore, the right wing is very happy with him, and a lot of churches and socially conservative groups will try to get out the vote for him in the election. But he loses in the Senate, and therefore moderates are not disturbed by some rightward drift of the administration.
An interesting tidbit from Michigan. The Republican Party seems to be working for Ralph Nader, submitting more than 40,000 signatures to get him on the ballot.
You know, I'm not surprised about this because when it was in doubt that Ralph Nader was going to run, I talked to a lot of Republican operatives who were terrified of that prospect. They were counting on him to run and take a lot of left-wing votes away from John Kerry. So, you know, the fact that they're uniting to try to actually get him on the ballot isn't surprising. What is surprising is how blatant this effort is, and that will hurt because there are now a lot of Democratic groups that are dedicated to stopping Ralph Nader getting in his way and making it difficult for him to gather the signatures of Democrats and liberals. And they've been very effective in that. And that is one reason why a spokesman for Mr. Nader said that he may have to use these signatures from the Republican Party of Michigan. So, in other words, Democratic groups have driven Ralph Nader into the arms of the Republicans in order to get enough signatures, and that will discredit him. It's been a very effective tactic by the Democrats.
Opinion and analysis from Will Salatin. He writes the Ballot Box column for Slate. Thanks, Will.
Thank you, Madeline.